Some of you are going through a tough time. I know that some sickness this week. I hope you're feeling better. And may the power of the Holy Spirit, His hand, just be poured upon you. And whatever sickness you're going through may be just gone in the name of Jesus. Being a hero is not an easy thing. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Peter, and he didn't have a clue what was going on with him, and this hero didn't know that he has all these powers in him. And if you follow heroes, you're gonna find out that none of them knew what was going on with them. Nothing. Nobody knew. But as their powers were developing, they realized that there was something that they needed to do. And then this silly thing came around to, what, save the cheerleader? And you're going to save the world? Yeah, whatever. What am I supposed to, what cheerleader? I mean, there's so many schools around the United States. What am I supposed to, is it sounding really dumb? Save the cheerleader, save the world. So it was kind of difficult to be a hero, and because even if the reward is great, even if everybody wants to be a hero, I know that secretly a lot of you want to be heroes just to wear the tights, right? Just the cape, and stuff like that. But being a hero is not an easy thing. I remember when I was a kid, I know, it's a long time ago, I used to see this cartoon on TV. And sometimes, I think I saw it one with the Three Stooges. You remember the Three Stooges? Maybe you were too young to remember the Three Stooges. But, you know, I saw them in black and white. So I'm pretty out there. And what happened is that they're looking for a hero. There's this dragon that is going around the villages and destroying everything and just firing everything and just killing everybody and all the cattle and stuff. So the king is looking for a hero. And he calls all his troops, all his armies, all the army is right there. And he's going back and forth asking for a hero. But what happened? Nobody step up to the plate. Nobody wants to give one step forward to be the hero, to be the one that is going to take the sword and go fight against the dragon. Nobody wanted to do that. So, in every single place, there's a guy that they play for a fool, and they play tricks on him all the time. So he's in the first line of the army, and the next time that the king is asking, all the soldiers came to an agreement. And they say, next time, look, that the king is asking for a volunteer hero, what we're going to do is that he's gonna say, if anybody wants to be the hero, step forward. So what we're going to do is all of us are going to step backwards, and he's going to be left alone. So there you go. This dragon is terrorizing. We need a... The king is just shouting everywhere. We need a hero. We need somebody. And you know, the guy is just right there. And suddenly, you know, everybody stepped backwards. And he realizes that something is going on, but he doesn't know what. And suddenly, the king comes and gives him a pat in the back and say, good for you. You are our hero. And he doesn't know what in the world is going on, but he has been chosen involuntarily to be the hero. And at the end of the story, what happens? What's the prize for killing the dragon? The princess, right? And not only the princess, but as he marries the princess, he can become what? The king. And this little story, you know, an involuntary hero, reminds me of a story that Charlie was talking about last week. You remember what story is that? Anybody? The story of Gideon. Was he a voluntary hero or an involuntary hero? involuntary, right? Because God said, hey, I am chosen you. And I want you to go. Did Gideon had a problem with that? It's like everybody stepped backward and he just stayed right there. Oh, I'm the hero now? But how is it that I'm the hero now? That's not good. That's not good. Why is not good? Because on top of being an involuntary hero, he has other issues with him. Do you know that Gideon had a problem with self-esteem? How many of you knew that? He got a big problem with self-esteem. Because one, he was from the lowest of the tribes of Israel. Not only that, from all the tribes, he belonged to the lowest clan of the tribe. And if that was not enough, from the clan, he belonged to the lowest family of the clan. And if it was not enough, from all his brothers, he was the least of the brothers. So check this out. From the lowest of the tribes, from the lowest to the clan, from the lowest of the family, and from the lowest of the brothers. And God is looking at him and telling him, you are my hero. And he's all puzzled. How is it possible that I am the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, and I am the hero now? That's something's wrong with you, God. But you need to do something about this, and you need to do something about this quick. Why? Because the Midianites are out there and they're eating us up like a dragon. So what are you gonna do? And you know the whole story, right? He becomes a very powerful hero against his will. He finally finds out. He finally realizes that no matter what he does, no matter what excuse he's putting up, God is not going to lift him off the hook. He's not. So he said, all right, if you God are sending me to this war, if you are sending me, you have to give me something. You have to give me a sign. And God gave him a sign. Everything that he asked for was done. All right. Oh, Lord, you know what? Now, in order for me to do this, I need something to battle against the Midianites. What about if you give me an army? Oh yeah, no problem. I can give you an army. Boom. A whole bunch of people right there. And when God looks down, he says, too many. Look, I have a self-esteem problem. And you're telling me that 30,000 is too many? Give me a break. No, too many. And you remember the story. It goes all the way down to what? 300. And let me tell you one thing. If you think that this 300 were like the 300 from the Spartans, you're wrong. They're not even close to the Spartans. Okay? The Spartans were trained since what age? 7 years old. Taken away from their mothers at 7 years old, trained to be warriors, trained to be machines to kill. Good with the lance, good with the sword, good with everything. Strong, powerful. What about the 300 from Gideon? They were farmers with no training in war. And you're a farmer. Well, let me give you an M16. No. No, that's not it. You're not going to get any no M16 to fight against the Midianites. What are you getting? You're getting a flashlight, a horn, and a jar. How's that? You like it? I mean, you're no Spartan, and on top of that, you have these awesome tools for war. A flashlight, a jar, and a horn. Let's go. How many of you would love to be a Gideon's warrior with that awesome equipment? Poor Gideon, huh? But what happened with Gideon is awesome. Because even though he has an army that sucks, he has power tools that don't work. And on top of everything, he has this self-esteem problem, and he's going to win? Something's wrong with that picture. One book before. Anybody knows where and what book is the story of Gideon? It's in the book of Judges. One book before, which is the book of Joshua, we find another hero. I mean, and talking about contrast between Gideon and Joshua, it's a contrast that is impossible to think. You're looking at Joshua, you're looking at Gideon, and you're looking at two completely different heroes. What's up with Joshua? As soon as God tells him, hey, you need to be a spy, he's there. He goes into the land with Caleb, and he brings good things, and he says, we're there. God has given these people, it doesn't matter if they're giants, God has put them in our hands, and we're going to, let's go right now. Let's go because God has put them in our hands now. Exactly like Gideon, huh? No. And then 40 years later, what happens? Everybody dies in the desert except Caleb and who else? And Joshua. And Joshua is listening to the voice of God. And God is telling him, you know what? You're going to bring every single one of these Israelites into the promised land. All right. When? Wait. The sea, the river needs to be open and you need to cross. Oh, hold on. He's just eager to go. He's just all fired up because he knows what God can do. And he can't wait. And God looks at both, looks at Gideon and looks at Joshua and finds something similar. And tells them something similar. Tells them two things. When you see both stories of Gideon and Joshua, you're going to find two similarities. The first one you find in Judges 6:15. But the Lord said to Gideon, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in the Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. He is having this problems with his self-esteem. But God tells him, you know what? Here. Joshua 6:12. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, and you have these three men, these 300 men, there are no Spartans. But what? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. It doesn't matter if he feels that he has esteem issues or he has a bad 300 men with no weapons. It doesn't matter. What it matters is that the Lord is telling him, look, it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or what you think you have or you don't have. I am with you. And that makes you a mighty warrior. What did God tell Joshua? Joshua is being told exactly the same thing. If you open your Bibles in Joshua 1:9, God is talking to Joshua and he's telling him, you know, haven't I commanded you? Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So, one hero is just there. He's just waiting to do what God wants him to do. The other hero asks for signs. He doesn't want to go. He's just delaying the whole thing. But he's told the same thing. I am going to go with you wherever you go. And the other similar thing is that if there will be a TV show in the Old Testament called The Most Ridiculous Videos on How to Win a Battle, these two stories will feature in them. You remember how God is asking these guys to win the battle. You remember? I mean, the Bible tells us that the Midianites were like the sand in the ocean. That's how many they were. And Gideon has how many? 300, no Spartans. No 300 Spartans, just 300 regular farmers. With a lantern, with a horn, and with a jar. The second story is Joshua. And God is telling him, you have a big wall. So what are we having to tear down this wall? Oh, no, you're just going to walk around. And the walls are going to come down? Yes. All right, Lord. And he doesn't say anything like Gideon does. 300? What do you think? No. But the battles are there. And as ridiculous as they sound, they're going to win not the way they want. They're going to win the way God wants. Anybody can tell me why God allows them to go in such a ridicule way of winning a battle? Walking one time every day for 7 days around the city. And then you're going to walk 7 times after that in the last day. And you're going to shout like maniacs. And what's going to happen? The walls are going to come down. How many of you are willing to do that this afternoon? Go around Glendale from here until the 9th. And walk Glendale. You know, Glendale Boulevard or Brand Boulevard, up and down, like 10 blocks down and 10 blocks up. And we're in the middle at the 7th day. We're going to do that 7 times. And right there in the cross of Brand and Broadway, each one of us is going to go nuts. Ah! Any takers? And then the walls of sin in Glendale are going to fall down. Who's coming with me? Well, I'm not kidding. Why? Because it's ridiculous, isn't it? Because it completely throws you off. It's completely out of your comfort zone, and you will not do it. Even if that means that we are going to win. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen the story of Joshua on the VeggieTales version? Never seen it? That's funny. They're going around and around. And they're throwing stuff from the wall. And they're throwing like melted marshmallows or something into them. You know, it's bad. And can you imagine people just shouting at them from the wall? What are you doing? Go home. You want some food? You know, a rotten fish or something. It was bad. But that was the way that God told them they were going to win. And they had to do it that way. Why? Why is so ridiculous? Why a flashlight, a can, and a whistle? Why? So ridiculous. Anybody? Why? To test their faith? That's a good one. To bring glory to God more than anything. Not to the power of Gideon, which he didn't have anyway. But not to his power. Not to the power of Joshua or the armies of Israel. No. Everything is so ridiculous for one simple reason. Because all the glory needed to be to God. And this church is pushing to get out of the comfort zone. For these walls around us to fall so we can go out there. The walls of your sins to fall in order for us to reach out to somebody else. But it's going to be done not your way or the core's way of with our ideas. Is going to be God's way. And when I was talking about going out there and do a Jericho walk, I'm not kidding. Next week, whoever wants to come with me, I'm going to do that literally for this city. I'm going to do a Jericho walk on this city. Because I want the glory to be not mine, not the core, not you, but God's. And I'm going to walk in silence and brand all the way from the 134 to Colorado and back in silence, praying that God may pull down my own walls, the walls of this church, and the walls of this city. Because it was not until the walls were down that Joshua could what? That Joshua could conquer. Walls were up. People were inside the city. Nobody was conquered yet. But as soon as the walls came down, what happened? The city was conquered. And everything that Joshua needed to do in the name of the Lord was done. But not until the walls were down. And we need to tear some walls. We need to tear the walls of fear. We need to tear the walls of sin in our lives. We need to tear the walls of disobedience in our lives. We need to tear the walls of prejudice in our of unforgiveness. Of lack of faith in our lives, in our church, and in our city. And I know we're not that many. We're not even 300. And we're no Spartans. But who cares? Because when everything is under God's hands, we don't need 300 Spartans. We don't need a million soldiers. We just need people that is what? It's committed to say yes to the call that God has for you. And God has been calling you. Not through this sermon. I know that even if nobody has ever told you anything about getting involved, God is bugging you. And God is telling you, hey, get involved. Hey, move. Hey, what are you doing sitting down? Hey. And sometimes God has used some people to come and poke you and say, hey, get involved. So I want each one of you to think, what are your walls? I want you to think, what are the walls of this church? And what are the walls of this city? So we can pray for them and tear them down and allow God to be the conqueror in this thing. So what are you going to do? Are you going to marry? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. By the seventh day, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. They shout, they blow the horns, and what happens to the walls? Amazingly, as ridiculous as it might sound, the walls came down. Are your walls so high and so wide and so strong that they cannot come down? If you do it God's way, those walls are coming down. Is the walls in our church so strong that they cannot be teared down? No. No. If we do it God's way, they're going to come down. Are the walls in a city so strong and so powerful that the strongholds in this place are so powerful that they cannot be teared down? No. If we do it the God's way, they're going to come down. So, the first thing that I want each one of you is to pray for your own walls. I know there's people here that have problems with somebody else. They have personal problems. That needs to be down. And I'm praying for those walls to come down. I know that sometimes we don't want to mingle with the other group. That's coming down. I know that some of you don't want to get involved. Well, that's coming down. I know that some of you want to get involved but feel awkward, you know, like Gideon, maybe self-esteem problems, and I can't. Well, that's coming down. Got financial problems? That's coming down. But every single thing needs to be done not my way. It needs to be done God's way. And it's as ridiculous as it might sound, or illogical as it might sound, it's God's way. And when it's God's way, it's what? It's the best way. So, after lunch next week, 2:30 maybe, 2:30, I'm going to give you all the information where we're going to park around the 134 in Brand. And whoever wants to come with me to start tearing down the walls of your heart, of this church, and of this city, come, let's walk. Let's do a Jericho walk for yourself. Let's do a Jericho walk for this church. And do a Jericho walk for this city. And let's see what God does. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Walls are coming down. So it doesn't matter what kind of hero you are. It doesn't matter if you're a Gideon hero or a Joshua hero. If you believe that God is with you, then what was the result at the end in Joshua's story and in Gideon's story, regardless of what kind of hero they were? What was at the end of the story in both stories? Who wins? God wins. So it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're a go-getter or I don't wanna. It doesn't matter. If you allow God to work, He's gonna do it, and you are gonna win, and God is gonna win. When the soldiers, when the 300s were coming down, shouting and breaking the jars and the light and everything, you know what they were shouting? They were shouting that for God and for Gideon. So God gives us glory too. God, he's not selfish God that doesn't want to share the glory with us. He does. He do. He does. You come down running with Him, and He's going to get the glory. And guess what? You are too. Because let me tell you, when all the walls are down and we can see this church as God envisions it to be, who's going to be the glory for? Him? Yeah, for us too. We're going to be happy. We're going to be worshiping. This place is going to be full. When the walls come down, then we'll conquer. Allow God to tear down your walls, to tear down the walls of this church, and to tear down the walls of this city, and you're going to see awesome things happening. And believe me, I already seen things since the beginning of this year that are awesome, are good. So, I hope 2:30 next week, you're going to be with me doing a Jericho walk in silence, walking for the teardowns of the walls that are going to make our church glorious for God, and God is going to give us glory to ourselves as church and as individuals too. To God be the glory. Amen.